let's get into this morning's game, or this afternoon's game, if in Andalusia. It finished 1-1 between Sevilla and Atletico. Not too surprising a result, I don't think.
No. Two pretty, I guess you could say, evenly matched teams.
And, yeah, I think the scoreline reflected that. I saw Wissam Ben Yedder on Twitter say it was a deceptive result. I'm like, really, though?
I think if you take away his two chances that came in, what, 2 minutes of each other, then the expected goals are about the same. And those both, I would say, came from defensive mistakes from Atleti. And I think Sevilla played well, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they were a lot better.
I thought it was a really entertaining game, really back and forth. Yeah, I'm just looking at the expected goals right now. Atleti only had 0.76, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. A lot of their chances were long shots, but expected goals in general kind of underrates long shots. I think you can sort of tell what long shots are more dangerous than just someone jacking them up from 35 yards.
Which Tomas did in the 88th minute and nearly scored from it.
That's true. And I think, if you compare his long shot to the one that Griezmann took in the first half, those are two very different chances, I would say.
And Griezmann, I think, alone, just looking very quickly at this, Griezmann alone was responsible for 0.6 of those 0.76 expected goals. That's not great. I mean, it's not preferable, but you get a draw out of it.
Well, and I think Atleti had a really poor first half. I think they played a lot better in the second half.
They did.
Considering the poor first half, that's not awful.
I think especially defensively, Atleti were a lot better in the second half. First half, first 10, 15 minutes were good. Then about 20, 25 minutes, Atletico were very, very poor. Juan Fran and Sal were just getting run on the flanks. Jesus Navas looked like God. And then Ben Yedder scores, and then somehow Griezmann gets this free kick and just kind of rifles it in. And it's 1-1 at halftime. And then the second half kind of carried on similarly in terms of the pace, in terms of the rhythm. Not very many great chances either side. You figure, entering the last 10 minutes, this was either going to finish 2-1 to Sevilla or 1-1. And I think good for Atletico finishes 1-1.
Yes, almost certainly. And there was a lot of fouls in this game.
Oh my goodness.
Nicely.
Let's go through the yellow cards, shall we?
Yes, let's. There were a few.
Jesus Navas, 46th minute. Pablo Sarabia, 47th minute. Saul, 49th minute. Griezmann, 54th minute. Banega, 72nd minute. Rodri, 77th minute. Godin, 78th minute. Tomas, 91st minute. Savic and Andre Silva, 91st minute. Daniel Carrizo, 93rd minute.
And don't forget Angel Correa in the 13th.
In the first half, that's right.
The challenges were flying in at times.
Oh, by the way, it's 2-0 Real Sociedad now.
Oh, praise be.
Wow. Shout out La Real.
Shout out Lucas Vasquez.
Getting sent off, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, this is not a Laugh at Real Madrid podcast, although we would like it to be.
At a later date, perhaps.
At a later date, yes. I thought overall it was a pretty entertaining game, pretty intense game, especially in that second half. Antoine Griezmann was decisive, though. Even though this was just a draw, he was decisive. This was the kind of Griezmann that you like to see, Rob, the very aggressive one, getting a lot of shots up.
And I think he kind of, in the first 15 minutes, I was a little bit concerned because he wasn't getting a ton of chances, but then he definitely grew into the game as it went along.
Yeah, it was that pairing just does not work very often, Griezmann and Correa. Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. Grizzy had 6 shots, 4 on target, 1-4 headers, which is kind of rare for him, and he worked hard as ever defensively. 1 clearance, 3 fouls.
When you're playing against a team like Sevilla that had a pretty packed midfield and 3 central defenders, they were obviously going to be keying in on Griezmann. So he was never going to get a ton of space. But I thought even with the minimal space he had, he did well.
Yeah, he still managed to find some, which was good. And he was decisive in a way. Again, even though this was just a draw, quote-unquote, he was, without him, Atleti would have lost this game. I think it's a little Okay, it's kind of reductive to say that, but without him, Atletico would have had, they would not have had a reference point. I mean, outside of...
Well, and I think it doesn't really bear thinking about what this Atleti team would have been like this season had Griezmann left in the summer, which, as we all know, was an absolute possibility.
Oh, I know.
Especially considering the struggles of Costa so far.
It does bear repeating. Atleti managed just 0.17 XG without Griezmann's contributions on Sunday. So,
and I think part of that probably has to do with Saul being forced into the back four, because he certainly makes a difference offensively. I thought Tomas played very well today, don't get me wrong, but he's not the same kind of attacking threat that Saul is.
Yeah, Tomas managed to 4 key passes and 9 tackles. Seems like he was intercepting everything in the second half. He was quite good. And Saul, I feel for Saul. I mean, he's trying. He's working hard. He's putting in the hard yards, but this is just not his position. And with his yellow card, he's suspended for Levante next week. I don't know what Cholo is going to do. Montero.
I think we may have seen, Fran Montero.
It's probably going to be Montero at left back. I like this role that I mentioned it on a bonus pod a little while ago. I like this role that Javi Montero has for himself right now. He kind of comes on with about 15, 20, 25 minutes to go, pushes Saul up into midfield, takes over as the makeshift left back / center back. I kind of like this. It's a little more proactive than we've seen from Cholo in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a good sign because Cholo is hesitant with all youth players, but especially defenders. So to see Montero getting a chance now more often in the first team is very encouraging, I think.
It is. And yeah, Cholo likes him. I don't think he's a great passer of the ball. It's a little jittery out there watching him play, but he's 19 years old and he's getting, minutes for one of the best teams in La Liga. So hard to complain.
Yeah, and I mean, as we've seen with today's center back pairing, it doesn't really matter if you're not technically great at the back for Atleti, as long as you're willing to put in some crunching tackles.
Yeah, I thought Godin was good. Didn't think Savage was particularly good or influential.
I kind of thought the opposite, to be honest. Yeah, I thought Savage was okay. I don't think he really did much.
Nearly gave away a penalty in the first half.
Yeah, he did. But I think that the two biggest chances for Sevilla came from errors from Godin. The first goal, him charging out of the box for some strange reason, and then the second chance for Ben Yedder, which was actually probably an easier chance than the one he scored, was also, I would say, down to Godin. But he in the second half, he was much better, I thought.
I thought second half, the defense as a whole was much, much better.
Juanfran is looking bad.
Yeah, let's talk about the starting 11 and how I think Cholo kind of got this wrong. I don't know why Juanfran was playing in this game. Would rather have seen him midweek in the Copa. He was overrun in the first half and just really didn't contribute anything going forward. Made 4 clearances. I think it was a weird decision to start him coming into the team for this big a game after 2 months. A kind of a strange choice. The fullback pairing in general just was not particularly good.
Yeah, it was really bad. And in the modern game, if you have terrible fullbacks, it will show both going forward and defensively. Yeah. But I was surprised Arias didn't start. I can only assume this is one of those Cholo things where he wants Juanfran in there for the grit or whatever. But if that's not the reason, I don't know what it is.
Colch Narrow Chat 147, grit or whatever.
Yeah, grit or whatever. Yes. It's Cholo's favorite trait in a player.
There you go. That's the title. No, it was a weird choice to start Juanfran, who I didn't think contributed much of anything, and Santiago Arias is clearly better than him, which is something that we could not say when Vrsaljko was in this team. Did you see the rumor that Inter are already tired of Vrsaljko?
I did, and I saw that they want to give him back. Although Vrsaljko isn't great, we could use some fullbacks.
You know what? I'd take him as
Arias' backup.
I'd take him as Santi's backup, but Santi is clearly the best fullback in this team right now.
Hell, I'd play Vrsaljko at left back.
Yeah, he can play left back.
Why not?
When he's fit.
Better than Saul, yeah. When he's fit, that's the ultimate qualifier.
Poor Saul. I felt for him. We talked about the Rodri and Tomas pairing before, how it's not nearly as dynamic as some of the other options Simeone has. But I thought was really good in this game. Tomas was, I thought he was a beast in this game. And Rodri got a little further forward at times. By the way, 87% pass accuracy for Rodri. A little low for him.
A little low.
But no, I thought that pairing worked out pretty well. And Tomas was right-sided for a chunk of this game, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, I thought Tomas played well. I think the pairing works better when it's Rodri and Koke, but I understand for a big game if you want to go Rodri and Tomas because that's a little bit more secure. I thought Koke was brilliant today, by the way, also. Yeah. He put in a ton of challenges as well, which is certainly not his game, but he did it well.
7 tackles for Koke, as well as a couple interceptions and a couple key passes. Yeah, that's just kind of standard Koke.
He's been great this season, I think. And that was something that I was quite concerned about going into the year, is how he was going to play this year. But he's been quite good in recent weeks.
I think that's why Atletico have been so... They've been consistent, but it's a weird kind of consistent. They're picking up points, and they're not losing, but they're not winning games. That being said, Koke is a reason why Atleti have been so, I suppose, for lack of a better word, consistent.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a shame that his kind of corner taking has entirely deserted him.
But he hasn't even taken him anymore.
Some of the athletic corners in this game were just abysmal.
Oh, God. Yeah, Koke doesn't even take them anymore. Simeone has just said, screw it, we're going to give them to Griezmann or Lema.
Even that's like, man, these corners are really bad.
Yikes. Griezmann and Correa up top, not great. Particularly in the first half, it was really bad. Griezmann, we've discussed this before, he needs a reference point. He did not have a reference point. He was the reference point. Ergo, this was a struggle in the first half. And Lehmann was a forward in the second half. Vitolo, I think, played up there when he came on. Very strange that Simeone didn't really go to Kalinic at all.
Yeah, that was weird. It's another one of those cases where he only used two subs.
He only used two subs, Vitolo and Montero.
Yeah, I guess I get it because a lot of the midfield was playing quite well. They didn't want to take any of them off. But, you know, this is a big game, and Atleti really could have used to take advantage. And if you have Kalinic, he can take chances, even if you only give him one.
I thought it was very strange. Yeah, not only the two subs thing, but that Kalinic didn't come on. I mean, Gelson wasn't even in the team. It's not even worth talking about him anymore.
He's done.
He's done. I still believe he's leaving this month. I just don't know when and where.
I see no way back for him.
I don't either. And it's very sad because I was really excited about his addition, and I thought he really could have added something. Jose Mas fit again, at least. That's good.
Praise be.
Yeah, seriously. Did not play in this game. Probably the right choice. You do have to be careful with him. You do have to give him kid gloves at times, but... And that's unfortunate, but we all know how good he is. Let's talk about Lehmann for a minute. I was not impressed, once again. 3 key passes, 88% pass accuracy, both of which are good numbers. But what is his role in this team, Rob? What does he do?
Yeah, it's unclear what his role is, because I think the way he's playing, Diego Simeone likes, but... This is just kind of wasting his talent because he's not being allowed to do what he's best at, which is be one of Atleti's main creators. I mean, he only got 35 touches in this game, which for a player like Lamar is really not playing to his strengths.
No, this kind of goes back to the grit or whatever. Early on showed off a work rate, showed off his ability to track back, run the hard yards. And I don't think Cholo's ever escaped that mindset of, okay, Lehmann can do this, we're going to make him do this. We're not going to let him be all that creative because we can't compromise the system. And yeah, Simeone hasn't really found a way to incorporate Lehmann's dribbling, Lehmann's passing, his range of passing. Hasn't found a way to incorporate that into the system yet. And it's January now.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to keep referencing this guy when I talk about Tomas Lehmann, but... Cholo wants him to be Arda Turan, and that's not going to happen because Arda Turan had an absolute engine in his prime. I mean, he could run about 1 million miles per match. Tomas Lehmann is not really that guy.
He's not at all that guy.
I mean, he will do it, but is absolutely not going to get the best out of him.
But you think of his best qualities, that's like 4th on a list of 5, I'd say. Like his dribbling, his pace, his range of passing, then you have his work rate. With Arda, it was always like his second best. Not only could Arda pass like a demon, but he also ran his ass off every game.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say Lemar does that, and he's not a guy you can sacrifice touches for. Arda was, and I think that's the key difference between them.
Yeah, and I think rather than force Lemar to conform to the system, Chola really needs to kind of make an exception. If you're going to make an exception for a player, he's the one that he doesn't have to be this ultra hard work guy. But I also wonder if in a system where you have Saul at left back, you needed him to do that, because Saul is obviously not the greatest defender in the world, and that's not a knock on him. Right. It's just not an ideal situation right. All around.
Just all the injuries have made that a necessity.
Yes.
And hopefully that gets alleviated in the next week.
I thought Vitola was all right when he came on, though.
He was.
Obviously a tough situation for him.
He needs to start. And yeah, he was getting whistled and booed the entire time because of the whole that whole situation, which we don't need to recount.
We know why.
I remember we did the podcast when there was the announcement that he was going to renew with Sevilla. I remember that podcast. I was very upset.
Oh, yes.
I was.
That's a good one to go back and listen to.
I was steaming mad. Like, I had just woken up, and I, like, okay, I need to do a podcast. That was great moments in Colchonero chat history.
It really was. And then, like, a day later, he was like, nope, okay, I'm going to
it. And then we did another podcast saying, oh, okay, this is cool. This is fine.
It all buffed out.
Yeah, but no, Vitolo needs to start. I mentioned this before. He hasn't started yet this year. That's very strange. Because he's always the first guy off the bench. He's always played well when he's been healthy. He's been in very good form. Like, very quietly, he's established himself in his team now. He needs to start.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good sign for Lemar's sakes that Simeone still likes him as the starter rather than the very experienced Vitolo. But it's a weird one. It's very weird. And I can't imagine he's thrilled with this arrangement either.
He's still playing well, which is a good sign. But yeah, you're right. I can't imagine this is the best situation for him.
No, I mean he's getting into his 30s. He doesn't want to be coming off the bench anymore.
Yeah. Sevilla, they're a pretty good team, Rob. Especially their goalkeeper, Tomas Vaxlik. He made a few very good saves in this game.
Yes, he did. Also, their young defender, Nyanyan, which is a fun name to say.
Yes, it is.
He played quite well, I thought.
He was great. Yeah, and he nearly scored the winning goal.
Yeah, he did.
About 84
that
minutes.
That was a big-time scramble.
I thought it was a foul. He took the ball off Rodri outside the box, and he just lashed this one. Oblak had to make a diving save. By the way, shout out Jan Oblak. He's amazing. And
he was great today.
He's always great.
Well, and there was one shot that I believe it was from Sarabia that was from outside the box that he absolutely put a ton of power into, and Oblak just plucked it out of the air like it was no problem. Yeah, that is why he's the best goalkeeper in the world.
That was Sarabia's only shot of the game.
And it was a great shot, and it was going into the top corner, and Oblak was like, nope, this is mine.
Yeah, not happening.
no worries, not going out for a corner. I'm catching this.
You read Sid Lowe's article on Oblak, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Just he catches the ball. I think you can simply sum him up by saying he catches the ball and he goes to ground immediately. It's very traditional what he does, but it's extremely secure. And then he can also make saves like the one he made on Nyanyan. And I'm never going to say that right. I'm just not.
just kind of make some noises and you can get close.
Yeah, the save on Nyanyan in particular was extremely good. Ben Yedder scored the opening goal from a nice little move. Yeah, Godin was pulled a little bit out of position, but I think it was Carrizo. Yeah, Carrizo made the pass. He got the assist for it. And Ben Yedder just kind of did his thing, turned it in. Andre Silva had a great chance, too, just before that, when he just smacked it off the post, had Oblak beat.
And that was a damn steal of a signing, them getting Andre Silva from Milan, considering all the money Milan put into him.
Yeah. And
Atleti can't hit on a signing from the Portuguese league to save their lives, but of course Andre Silva goes to Sevilla and looks great.
But of course you're Sevilla taking Andre Silva off of Milan's hands, and they'll probably buy him in the summer. I mean, that's 35 million.
Yeah,
they can probably drop that on him. And
he was, I think that would be fine because he's so young. They could flip him easily.
He's only 23.
Yeah.
I thought he was older than that. He's extremely young. I thought he was much older than that, like 25 or 26.
Yeah, because he broke through at a young age at Porto.
He was very young.
Just made a ton of appearances.
But overall, I thought Sevilla were pretty good too. They had the higher expected goals in this game. They had 1.56 XG. I think Ben Yedder alone had one expected goal, and he scored a goal. From
that works. That math works.
That's good. That's good math, Jeremy. Way to go.
Well, shout out to expected goals. You got it. And nailed it.
nailed it on the head. But no, I mean, Sevilla showed off that this is a team that's likely going to be in the Champions League next year. They have more than a bit of quality about them. They've been pretty firmly top four all season. There is now a 3-point gap between them and Real Madrid in fifth. Real Madrid are in fifth now. Isn't that great?
It is great.
Isn't it?
Lovely. Alaves are in fourth. How did that happen?
Yeah, because Alaves keep coming back and winning 2-1.
Because that is certainly sustainable. But we'll see.
Shout out Valencia, the team Alaves beat. One win in their last five, and Kevin Gamero can't get off the bench. Way to go.
Well, he's used to that. He's used to being played and the coach being like, oh, God, why? Did we want Kevin Gamero?
Yeah, should be at this point. Sevilla are good, though. Atletico are good. I think that sums up what we learned from this game, that they are both solid teams, and this will be a pretty tightly contested top four. Betis aren't out of this race either. They're 5 points back of Alaves. And if Getafe beat Barca today, Getafe are into sixth.
It's a tight race at the top, and I don't think many people would have expected Getafe or Alaves to be competing to get into the top four at this point of the season. But, I think Real Betis obviously have a great manager. So does Sevilla. I'm interested, because obviously last season was a huge struggle for them, but Pablo Machin has done great work for them this year.
Machin, I think, is a really good coach. I think the world of him. And the way he has organized that team, and they're good defensively, too. It's not just the goals they can score, which they do score some nice goals. They have some very high-quality attacking players, but defensively, they get the job done.
That's right, yeah. And their midfield's quite good. I mean, Roque Mesa was excellent when he was in La Liga with Las Palmas, and Ever Banega's been great for a while.
Oh, he's so criminally underrated.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a workhorse in that midfield.
From Pablo Machin's current team to his former team, Girona.
Oh, yes. Here we go again.
Copa del Rey action on Wednesday at Montilivi as Atletico go back to that house of horrors on Wednesday to face Christian Stuani, Porto, and Girona. Not a great draw.
It's a pretty awful draw.
It's not a great
all things
draw.
Considered.
But, and I think Cholo knows that. I think part of the reason he went with this particular team on Sunday is to prepare for what could be a very tough game Wednesday at a very tough ground.
Absolutely. I mean, this may have been the worst possible matchup that wasn't Real Madrid or Barcelona.
It's not great.
Atletico team.
Certainly not great. Atletico have never won at Montilivi. They've already drawn there this year, 1-1, and it was very nearly a 1-0 loss. I would expect Santi Arias to be back in this team. I would expect Nikola Kalinic to be back in this team. I think it could and should be a stronger team Wednesday than we saw on Sunday. And do you think that is a matter of Cholo taking the Copa more seriously?
It's interesting, you know, because it's been a while since Atleti have really given the Copa a real push. Obviously, they've gotten to the semis a couple times, or gotten close to that. So, I mean, it's certainly a competition this team can win. Whether you care about domestic cups is kind of an opinion. I like it. I'm glad if it's a strong team, and I'd like to see Vitolo get a start. I expect that he will. Kalinic will probably start again, like you say. It'll be an interesting team. I'm going to be looking forward to see if Griezmann starts or not.
I would expect Griezmann and Kalinic to be the pairing up top.
Although I don't think that Kalinic and Correa would be an awful pairing either.
That would be interesting. I don't think we have not seen that, have we?
We may have seen it in an earlier round, no, maybe not.
No, I think you're right. Against
Saint Andrew.
Yeah, Saint Andrew. Yes.
Andrew.
I heard that.
They were very good.
I heard that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, against San Andreas, but whatever. Maybe will we see Jelson? Who knows?
Who knows? If maybe he'll be sold by or loaned out by then. By Wednesday.
I mean, I think if you're going to ditch him, you kind of want to wash your hands of the whole situation.
Or risk him becoming another Vieto.
Right, exactly. Someone that just has to be permanently on loan.
Vieto's spell at Fulham is not going well. As you
real bad. He's real bad.
Have surmised, yes. Not so great for him. I don't know what's going to happen to him. And I feel bad at this point for Vieto.
I don't know what he's going to do, honestly. I don't think any La Liga team is going to take him at this point.
No, he's been at four different La Liga teams, and none of them have taken him. You know, he started at Villarreal. He was good at Villarreal. Came to Atletico, was pretty poor. Went to Sevilla, where he was okay. Went to Valencia, where he wasn't that good. And now he's at Fulham. That's four different loan spells.
Fairness, Fulham is a bit of a bad place to be playing at the minute, but
yeah.
Even still, he hasn't really made the most of his opportunities there.
No, he hasn't. And it's tough because, that's a team that needs that bit of quality.
Yeah, and I mean, considering the amount of money they spent in the summer, they must like, how has this happened?
Yeah, seriously. they had a very impressive summer, and it's all just gone to hell in a handbasket.
It just shows when you're off-season champs, that does not always mean it's going to go so well.
So the first leg of this Copa del Rey round of 16 tie is on Wednesday evening at Montilivi. Second leg is the following Wednesday, the 16th, at the Wanda Metropolitano. In the middle of that little sandwich there, a fixture against Levante next Sunday. That is a 4 a.m. kickoff, my time. Terrific.
Oh, joy. Oh, man.
To wake up or not to wake up? That is the question.
You could cut this part out, but maybe just watch the second half. I don't know if that's going to be worth it, because, man, Levante are not the best team to watch either.
I am dedicated to this podcast. I am dedicated to you, to you, Rob, but maybe not dedicated enough to get up at 3:30 in the morning.
I mean, you could just record it and watch it later. I don't think that's such a sin.
Mm. Predictions for Wednesday. What do you got?
Oh, God. I'll go for a 1-1 draw.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't see Atletico winning this, but getting an away goal is very valuable.
That would be nice. That would be very nice. I'd like to see an interesting game. I mean, we'll see if Girona are indeed going to become Atleti's bogey team for the foreseeable future.
Just like Levante used to be.
Right. And thankfully, that is somewhat depreciated. Of course, now that I've said that, they're going to lose 3-0 at home to them or something, but...
Yeah, and speaking of Girona, last thing on them, they played a pretty strong team against Levante on Friday. Stuani and Porto both started. Porto scored the opener in this game. Porto started. Alex Grinnell started. Juanpe, Espinosa, Ramalho, their three first-choice defenders, they all started for Eusebio. So they played a strong team Friday, and they will have more rest than Atleti will have by a couple of days. But Atleti... I think deliberately rested a couple guys like Arias, possibly Kalinic as well, in preparation for this game. So we'll see who is more or less fatigued.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one, and it certainly won't be easy. I think that is for sure.
Well, we have done this podcast in a cool half an hour.
Yeah, quick one.
That's pretty quick for us.
And it is.
That'll be all for us. Rob, thank you so much for joining me as ever.
No problem, sir.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You probably already know that. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this very program on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. And become a Colchonero Chat amigo. Get access to our bonus pods and a lot more at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We will be doing another International Affairs Desk episode very soon.
Oh, yes. So some of the Asian leagues have shut down, but
we will find
there are
stuff.
Still things to talk about.
We will find stuff to discuss. Patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We will be back next week to discuss the Copa del Rey and related matters. Until then, adios.